Welcome to Sustain This, a podcast where we discuss mindful consumption, personal style, and the quest for living a more intentional life. I'm Alyssa, a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Christina, a shopaholic turned minimalist-ish.
And I'm Sina, a color consultant and slow fashion style coach.
Together, we will unpack the nuances of what it really means to be a conscious consumer and find more joy in what we have right now. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever floats your boat and join us in the conversation. Let's go.
Yay.
This is editing Christina coming at you, just letting you know that there were a little bit of sound issues in this video, so we did our best to make it as pleasant and clear sounding as possible. And towards the end of the podcast, we were staying in the hotel in Copenhagen while we filmed this, which is an eco-friendly hotel, so it had this like self-cleaning shower, which you can hear sometimes in the background, so just be advised that's what the sound is. We couldn't really do anything about that. Please enjoy the podcast. It's a really great conversation. I think you'll get a lot of value from it. And don't forget to like, subscribe, leave us a comment. We love to see them. And I hope you enjoy. Bye.
Welcome back. Hi.
Hi.
We're still in Copenhagen. It's amazing. Wow. Today we're going to talk about thrifting, which is very apropos because we are going to spend the afternoon.
Yay. Thrifting.
Thrifting.
Can't wait. So in like the best city in the world to thrift.
Yes.
I am so excited.
Yeah. Yes. So excited.
The weather is nice. It's like the perfect day.
Yeah. So we get some questions and, you know, we all love a good secondhand shop, and secondhand shopping is a really, really nice way to keep fashion circular, keep it going, you know, always with the caveat that you can keep your consumption intentional, you know. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in today's episode about thrifting, tips, all the kinds of things we hope you love. So I'm a big secondhand shopper. I've been doing it since I was like 15 or 16. My mom's friend, she had 5 kids. And so she like took us, I remember it was my first trip to Value Village, and she took us and she was like, well, I clothe all my children. She has 5 kids, right? Like that's a lot of people in one household to clothe. And I remember she showed us like how she does it and all her strategies for thrifting. So that was a really cool experience. And I've been secondhand shopping ever since.
What are some of those strategies? Let's talk about it.
Well, so one of the first things she said, which I thought was great, if you're someone who, bless you. Bless you.
I'm gonna say that
again. One of my favorite things was with footwear. If you're someone who likes to shop secondhand shoes, I know some people like don't love it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. Yeah. But if you go to the shoe section first, if you need a new pair, go to the shoe section first. If you find a pair that you like, put them on and like do the rest of your shopping with the shoes on.
Oh, yes.
So I love this because then it helps you understand if they're comfortable, but then also it like keeps them in your cart. I get very competitive when secondhand shopping. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm not a competitive person, but when I'm secondhand shopping and I see someone I'm like, are you like that? I'm like, I just follow the other person around if there's something in their cart. Like, I wait for them to put it back.
I think I've been shopping online secondhand too much to like have become into that. Like,
ooh, yeah. The crazy
mentality.
Yeah.
I mean, even then you can get kind of stressed out if you can see, okay, 20 other people like this item. What do I do?
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Or they even have it in their cart and it's like, oh, what do I do?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was a really good strategy. And then I'm trying to think of what else. Always, especially if you're shopping in markets and stuff like that, I always just wear layers that I can just take off because if the change rooms are always so busy, so I just change in the store. Like you find a mirror, you change, and you can decide right there. And then I always like load the cart and then I find a quiet spot and then I edit.
And then go through.
Yeah. Because you don't want to lose those pieces. Mm. You, what do you guys do? What's your thrifting story?
Okay, yeah, so yeah, I've been buying secondhand since I was about 16, 17-ish. That's where there's a big like reselling platform in Denmark called Trend Sales. It's probably most well-known one for like secondhand, I know, buying secondhand clothes. And I've had my account on there since I was 16.
Wow.
So, and back then it was more like a money question. Like, okay, I'm studying. I don't have a lot of money. So I'm like trying to save money. Whereas now it's just as much like, yeah, the money, like saving money is great, but it's more like
you have
a quest to be more mindful.
Yeah.
I want to be like more mindful and conscious about what I buy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I have purchased a lot of things online through the years, which I'm trying to kind of, inspired by you, Christina, trying to switch that mindset a little bit and force myself out more, because you just find that you're more critical. You often leave stuff behind, and you can make so many mistakes when you're shopping. Like, I've made countless mistakes shopping online. Like, okay, this didn't fit how I thought it was going to, or, you know, so I'm trying to be a little bit more critical there. But when I shop online, it's very much like, okay, what am I looking for? What's on my list? So, okay, I have a denim shirt on my wish list. I want to, like, replace an old one I had. Mm-hmm. So I have, like, maybe it's the color, or, like, it could even be a specific brand that I know already that I love. I know how their fits are. Mm-hmm. I know how their qualities, like, the quality is with this brand. Because I think what is keeping people from exploring secondhand sometimes is the feeling of getting overwhelmed by choice. Like, there's so much. So definitely find some filters that make sense to you, either that being filtering out the brand or filtering out the color or the material even, or like, you know, could be stuff like that. Yeah, definitely filter, which is harder in a real secondhand store, but yeah, it takes more time, like in a physical store, which is also not bad. You know? But the list, like, sticking to your list, I think, is probably my number one
tip. Yeah, I find I always kind of, well, it's kind of two-pronged, I guess. First of all, I started thrifting maybe, like, later than you guys. I was probably in my early 20s at that point, and I was just starting to explore areas of Toronto, like Kensington Market, which has a big, like, thrift area, and just, like, learning to shop for clothes secondhand, I think, was, like, later in the game for me, for sure. And I still find that my default setting is, when I do want to buy something, I tend to look for it. I tend to buy new first more than secondhand. So that's something that I'm trying to shift, is like, because when I shop, like, I kind of have a handful of brands that I like to kind of start with, and then kind of branch out from there. So now I'm trying to, like, shift my mindset of, like, oh, if I want this blazer from this certain brand, because I know what I'm looking for, I'll start looking for it on, like, on online shops like Poshmark, or, like, maybe local consignment, things like that. Because it just sort of, because I do get very overwhelmed by all that choice, like, I really never, or very rarely will I just, like, hop on a website and type in, like, cashmere sweater, and then just sort of browse through. I never really, I find that's really overwhelming, and I get, it's just, it's a lot. So I usually always have something very specific in mind when I do start shopping secondhand, and I found some really great pieces using resale websites. And I'm kind of learning, I'm like, maybe I never need to pay full price for things, you know, because I've been able to find a lot of great stuff online from brands that I love. Brand new with tags in some cases, current season in some cases. So if you really know exactly what you're looking for, then that's really helpful. But I also find, because a lot of stores have names for their garments, but if you're on a website, like, for example, The Real Real or Vestiaire, they don't search it by name. So you kind of have to, like, again, know what it is you're looking for by photo, or also know what it is you're searching for. So, like, maybe if it's a pair of jeans, you're going to look for mid-rise straight leg jeans, and then buy that brand, and then you'll find that piece. It's not going to be, like, you know, the Sid jean or the Kate jean or something like that. So I find that to be a really helpful tip. And yeah, I agree. Aside from shopping online secondhand, I have been sort of just, like, taking little wander days to just be, there's, like, a, you know, there's some thrift shops in my neighborhood, and I'll, if I happen to be around, I'm like, oh, I'll just pop in and like, just kind of see what's around. But it takes a lot of patience. Yeah, 100%. It's a lot of patience. And it kind of makes me think, I used to, when I was, like, in my 20s, I was dating my ex-boyfriend at the time. And we used to go into, like, Blockbuster, or, like, that's when you could still, it was pre-Netflix. You could, like,
the random movie.
Yeah. And he would, like, sift through every movie one at a time in the aisles and, like, in the shelves, and take forever, and it would drive me crazy. And sometimes I think of that when I'm thrifting, and I'm like, and I'm just like, oh my God, I don't want to go through every piece by piece, but that's how you find the best pieces.
Yeah.
So it really, like, it's a test in patience to me.
And I think you need to figure out, like, you don't have to love that. Like, I think there's, like, a lot of pressure on, like, thrifting. Like, oh, I really want to do it, but I find it, like, I don't love it.
Yes.
Similar to, like, shopping, like, quote-unquote normally, there's a lot of people who, like, hate shopping. Like, they never do it because they hate it. So I feel like if you really want to do it more, then, yeah, then maybe online is better for you because you can do it more quietly and, like, you can filter more and it becomes a little less stressful and overwhelming. So I feel like you don't have to feel, like, pressured into, like, going thrifting because maybe it's not your thing. Yeah. Like, for some people, guaranteed, it's not going to be their thing.
Yeah. That's where I find, like, if it isn't your thing like that, then maybe it's better to go to, like, a more curated store, like, a consignment or secondhand. That's, they kind of do the sorting and handpicking for you. Mm-hmm. There's a few places like that in Toronto. Like, I really like, there's a place called House of Vintage. Mm-hmm. In the West End, it's a really popular one. That's, it's a lot more curated, so the prices are higher, but, like, if I know, I'm like, I want to find a pair of vintage Levi 501s, you're going to find a really nice, clean, curated pair there. Or if you want, like, Harley Davidson stuff, like, they have a whole section of that, so it's, like, very easy to find as opposed to sifting through what's around.
I think that's a really good point, Christina. And perhaps for people who are new to shopping secondhand, we should explain, like, the different sort of, there's almost, like, different tiers. Like, there's when we're talking about thrifting, we're talking about, like, op shops for those of you in Europe or in the UK or in Australia, like, really, like, donation centers, your Salvation Armies, your nonprofits, all that stuff. And those are not curated at all. Mm-hmm. It's like they are so overloaded in the first place, their floor, like, that's what, like, you were talking about, like, where you have to go like this with every piece, because there's, like, they're often, I think, organized by size. Some of them are even organized by color, which is really handy, and like, obviously, sections, like shoes and whatever. But they're a bit wild. And then the next level up, I would say, is, like, consignment, where this is what you were talking about. It's been curated. And I find consignment shops are interesting. They're often merchandised like a boutique, so really good, like, entry level. And this is where the clothing, the inventory, is essentially from people like you and I. We give the clothes to the shop, and the owner keeps a percentage, and then the other person gets the other percentage. It's usually, like, a 60-40 split. And this is why when you go into these consignment boutiques, the prices are a little bit higher, because there's the curation involved, there's the collection of inventory, a lot of things have been, like, mended and cleaned. So yes, it's secondhand, yes, it's a lot less than retail value, but you are paying for certain things. Then vintage is a little bit similar to this. I consider vintage and consignment very different experiences, right? Like, so you're getting the same kind of, usually vintage isn't on consignment, it's through estate sales or whatever, but there is a lot of curation. And there is a lot more, like, mending, because restoration and all that stuff. So again, vintage will be priced a little bit higher. You will pay a premium for that. And I think that's totally fine. And then you have the luxury consignment, which is, like, the real, these, like, secondhand or some of these boutiques and whatever. And this is where you'll find, like, your designer luxury secondhand items. Typically, that's consignment as well. So, sorry, I felt like we should give everybody the rundown. Because
that was great. I don't know.
Oh, okay, there you go. So that's, like, more well-versed, hopefully, helps everybody.
To figure out which tier they are.
Or what could be good, best for them. Or
that is not to say that you can't find vintage at
100%. Yes,
it's not,
great
just
point.
Not curated.
No, that's right. Exactly.
So if we, like, translate that into, like, some secondhand, like, online. Like, if people wanted to stick to that. So there's, like, vintage is, like, more like the non-curate, almost similar to, like, the Salvation.
Or, like, a marketplace of sort.
Less curated, but obviously you have the option to filter yourself. And then there's Westyear, which is the European, like, version of your...
The real,
which is, like, luxury goods. You have Poshmark, too.
Poshmark in Canada and the US, that's right,
But it's that's more, like, similar to Vinted, right?
It's,
like,
or it's similar to, like, a Depop.
Yeah.
Or thread up. Or thread up. Like,
and I think, to your point, you can find any of the above at thrift locations. So you just have to do them.
Can you talk about what to look for in a vintage piece? What tells you it's vintage? Because there are some signs.
Oh my God, there are so many. It's like, it's hard. We should get, someone's really good. There's an account that I follow. I'll try and find them, but we can get someone on here. But for what I look for, a lot of it is the tag. The label is like the first indicator, right? Like if it's fabric, where it's sewn in, and depending how deep you want to go, there are certain codes in the US. Oh, I forget what they are, but there are like certain numbers that you can look for that will identify exactly what decade it was produced and where in the US.
But actually, like the other thing I noted, even the tag being fabric, but like the actual logo of the brand is much more intricate. Like it's often in like a, it's like often in like a serif font.
Yes.
And it'll say like made in Italy or made in USA, made in Canada, like, very few, you know, like made in China tags and like that kind of, that was like when a lot of more production was more domestic to the areas. Not to say that made in China is bad because they are very highly advanced technically and like all of that stuff, but it's just the reality that we're much more globalized in our clothing production than before. It was a lot more domestic. So those are some flags to look for.
I also look for like a pretty solid seam allowance. Like if it's a trouser or a blazer, like a pretty, like at least an inch and a half on the seam, like usually indicates that it's been, it was made in a time where tailoring and altering your clothes was a thing.
That's right.
So the seam allowance and usually linings. If I'm looking at blazers, blazers or jackets, like wool coats, if there's a, if it's fully lined all the way down to the sleeve, all the way down to the hem, and it's in a silk or a cotton or like a linen silk blend sometimes.
As opposed to a viscose or a rayon.
Or polyester, our fave. Or like if it's like, you know how sometimes you see blazers with like the half, like at the on the back placket, there's like the two panels of silk.
So it's not fully lined.
It's not fully lined. So usually those are indicators that I look for as well. And just sizing. Like sizing used to be a lot smaller, right?
Yes.
Like it wasn't really a 2-4. It was like, it was just like if I'm looking at the waistline, if it's a pretty teeny tiny waist, that's like
I find especially if you're shopping vintage denim, size up.
Right.
Size up. Yeah. Especially like when you're looking online. Size, take higher than you think. Even by your measurements, go one up.
Yeah.
What are your biggest vintage denim shopping tips, Christine?
So I mean, depending on with your, there's a few things that you can look at. So you can look at the back tag of the Levi's. So the older vintage ones, they feel a little bit more leathery than, I don't know off the top of my head what it's actually made of, but the ones now are like really thick and feel very almost plasticky. Like, you know, the back tag that says like vintage Levi, EST, whatever, with like the horses on it and whatnot. You can also go by the actual, the red tag or the orange tag. So the E on the Levi's, I can't remember what year, I think it's like in the 1970s, it used to be a big E. So if you find a big E back tag of on Levi's, that's like a big deal.
Cool. Good to know.
Yes, but then so now if you look at the little red tag on the back of the bum pocket on Levi's, it'll oftentimes it's a little E. So little E, I think, is anything from like 1980s and onward. Then you can also look on an inner tag. So usually there's a tag on. It's usually on the front inside of the denim, kind of like behind the pocket. And if you look on the back there, it will say, it'll have the code of the jean. So it'll be like 501 or 505 or 550. And it'll also have the date of the jean. So it might say like 0596. So that will tell you that these jeans were made in May of 1996. So you can actually date them. A lot of the 501s you can date. Yeah. But the other thing I notice about like vintage denim compared to modern denim is they're thicker.
Yeah,
vintage.
True.
Like you can feel actually a lot of things like trousers, blazers, even shirts, t-shirts.
Yeah,
like
right.
Real vintage, I find is much it's much more hefty.
The hand feel is
weighty and thick.
You're right.
Yeah, good point.
It's just very dense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can really tell the difference. Even like one of the things when I try to always have something in mind, especially if I'm like shopping in person.
Yeah.
But if I'm thrifting, sometimes I don't, but I kind of have like my go-to. So like if I see a leather jacket, I always go to the leather jacket right. section, and I find I actually prefer to go to the men's.
Yeah.
But vintage leather is heavy.
Yeah. Actually, like, kind of similar to this, right? Or even heavier.
Heavier than this.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah. Like, almost like, oh, lifting my arms is like,
it's really. It's like a workout.
Yeah. Compared to like, to new modern leather.
Mm.
Much more hefty, you can feel it, like it weighs like a couple of pounds almost. So I like to go to, so like, because I just know what it is I like, so I really like going to like the leather jackets, I like going to the blazers, I like going to the leather blazers. I always check out the denim, and I always go to the men's denim. If you want like vintage jeans, because you can get like vintage Levi's, vintage Wranglers, Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein, you'll find a lot of good ones in the men's section, because I feel like back, especially back in the 90s 2000s, etc., like it was kind of unisex anyway. And then after that, I'll like check out, I like actually really like to go to the belts. I like to check out men's belts quite a lot.
Cool.
So I kind of like, yeah, I kind of go by section, and then I think you do have to sift through like hanger by hanger, but you can feel when you land on something that's a little bit more, you're like, oh, this feels nice, so let me start inspecting it a little bit more. You know,
that's a good point.
So like I'm the same as you, Christina, in that like I'm very like I focus, like I'll go footwear first, bags, but it'll always be whatever's on my list, because you can get super overwhelmed. But something else I find is really helpful is if you know a color of something that you're looking for, especially in the places where it's not curated, then you can just, you can scan and you can just be like, zone in on the color you want. And something else that is relatively easy to scan if you don't want to get overwhelmed is like hemlines. So if you're in like the trouser or the skirt section, then I just like go straight to the bottom and I scan. If I'm looking for a maxi, I'm going to be able to spot it right away, right? So then... But that's, I think that was it. Those were like just things just to make it faster. And then, and then you both mentioned this was the patience piece. I think it's so important to like not have zero expectations.
Yeah, you'll walk out empty-handed a lot. I think that like I love watching thrifting on TikTok.
Yeah.
But it's like what's very popular when people find those like, you know.
It's a score.
The true Prada bag, or like, oh, I found a vintage Fendi here, or whatever it is. Like, they have probably gone thrifting days after days after days. Like, some people show up every day looking for the new drops, and 100%. Then it's like, so that find is like 1 in 1,000. Like, you know, the ratio of that success rate is not as instant as you may think, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why when I'm, like, especially if I'm in London, I like to go to Shoreditch. We went to one vintage shop in London. It was kind of like a single vintage shop, and just like a normal like shopping, in Covent Garden. But if you want, like, if you have limited time in a great city for like vintage or secondhand shopping, like go to somewhere where they're quite close, located next to each other.
Good
like
idea.
If you have the patience, because then you can go from shop to shop and like be on a mission.
Yeah.
Because you'll end up getting really disappointed if you only go to one and there's like. It's really far away to the rest of them, and you really wanted to find like a specific piece. So to kind of make it easier for yourself, like find a location where they're kind of close next to each other, all of the good secondhand stores.
And shop in the rich people areas.
Even the outskirts of cities.
Oh yeah, in the outskirts, so kind of, because a lot of like, a lot of the maybe more centralized, like easier to access. Are very picked over. So if you're willing to travel outside, I think you'll get a lot of nice stuff.
Great. For a low price too often.
And menswear is typically priced lower across the board. That's always nice. I wish I could fit a men's shoe sometimes. God, that'd be so good. I just love their shoes. They have the best shoes.
So in our last episode, we talked about, we had like a Vogue article about like why we won't wear our clothes to death anymore. And there was like they discussed the whole, apparently like the way we consume secondhand today is like almost compared to how we consume fast fashion. Should we talk a little bit about this? How it's not just a free pass to sustainability?
100%.
Because there's no way you can use it all. Like, I don't know what gets done with these. And I think that's, like, that's part of the appeal of thrift shopping, because there's so much, like, hunter-gatherer, even scarcity mindset that goes along with it, because it's like, oh, this is one of a kind. Yeah. Oh, this is so cheap. If it's $5 and I never wear it, it's fine because it was just $5. Yep. So I think it's like, or sometimes I even see like, even in those TikToks where they do find like, oh, I found like a Juicy Couture set or like a Fendi or Ferragamo or whatever. And like people just take it because of the brand and it's not necessarily something that you'll actually wear.
I used to
use.
Do that.
Yeah,
great
yeah. You're buying 100%. The name because it just like feels, it's exciting.
And you have, it's like, this is a treasure.
Yeah. But it's
it has
like,
to be mine.
If it's something that I'm not going to like resell,
yep.
am I going to use it?
100%.
I don't know. Like for me, it comes down to like, does this fit my style?
Yeah.
Is this something that I'm really looking for? And is it a hell yes?
Yeah.
And sometimes I've left hell yeses on the table because I'm like, how many more leather jackets do I really need?
100%.
Even though it's like, I love a vintage leather jacket. They're like the most delicious thing. I'm obsessed. But
yeah.
like, I don't have space.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's, oh, did you want to say something?
No, I feel like I'm going to sneeze.
Okay.
I probably can't now. Oh, wait.
No,
it's
so sad when it gets
cold. Yeah,
it is
sad.
Write it down when you don't sneeze.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I think that's something that I started, like, once I stopped doing these, like that was where I've never done hauls, but I would do thrift hauls. Like, I would,
yeah.
my mom and I would go and we'd come back with, like, a ton of stuff. I'd
yeah.
be, look at all these things. But, like, once I realized that it's about, like, the mindset and the overconsumption, it's always a nice reminder, like, with that one of a kind and that scarcity mentality, because I totally get it. It's a treasure.
Yeah.
But it's like, to your point, there are so many good clothes on the planet. There is no, it's statistically impossible that like you're not going to find something. Like you're always going to find something else.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like there
yeah.
will always be another beautiful leather jacket
yeah.
or pair of shoes
yeah.
or whatever, you know?
And I think like too, sometimes it's like if it's like slightly too small, you're like, oh, you find all the ways
totally
to justify, especially
that.
With
yeah.
like shoes
oh,
shoe
to compromise
jackets,
like, yeah.
it's like
every
it's gotta
day.
Fit
yeah.
I think slightly
yeah.
oversized
great
fine
point.
But
yeah.
like it's gotta fit
yeah. I would do that a lot like in
yeah,
the past
me too.
I would
yeah,
like and
too.
I would be like, okay, well I can just alter it, but
yeah.
sometimes it's like, no, I would just ruin the piece. Like now looking back, I've definitely learned to compromise less, like
yeah
because
great
you
point.
Need to compromise a little bit on like the newness of the piece, of course, but you don't have to compromise on like fit and
comfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've totally done that.
What
yeah,
do you think about
too.
The gentrification of,
I'm
of
so glad
thrifting and like,
can you explain that a little bit?
Just how, so I mean, like thrifting used to be something that like poor people did. Like it
oh,
was actually like
that, yeah.
you know, there was like a lot of negative stereotype and negative connotations associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's become really popular. And I think that's great. Like Gen Z, I think is really like taking the helm and making it something that's a little bit more acceptable and even aspirational.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of conversation and controversy around, like, for example, your charity shops raising prices. Like the prices are just ridiculous. Actually, CBC recently
yeah.
did a thing, did a marketplace where they compared, they went into thrift stores and like found things from like the dollar store that were on the shelves
yeah.
and the, even the original price sticker was on the thing. So they had one woman at the charity shop and then one woman at the dollar store and they were on the phone and she was like, okay, at this charity shop, this cat food dish is $3.99 here at this charity shop, but in the dollar store, the exact same one was there for $1.25. So like they're kind of just like making up prices and like like and the whole point of these thrift stores is to find affordable clothing and for like originally, you know, for like low income and people are just getting started and it's a way it was an accessibility thing and now it's becoming even more expensive to buy that than new sometimes.
Yeah.
And like there's no, it's like the Wild West in terms of pricing. So
yeah.
I just think it's
yeah.
because the demand is going up that like
yes.
they know that they can kind of get away with it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that I feel like that's another way fast fashion is just like ruining everything for all of us. Like,
and fast fashion showing up in the thrift store.
Yeah,
right?
That
yes.
too. And like you can buy like a pair of, I don't know, I've never shopped at Shein, but you could probably buy a pair of jeans cheaper there than in
yeah.
a in like a Salvation kind of thrift store.
Yeah. Like, I think it's really neat to show the how it is like a domino effect, how one thing in an industry informs the other. Like, thrift and secondhand does not exist in a vacuum. Fast fashion does not exist in a vacuum. Like, you know, these thrift stores and secondhand places are having to compete or wanting to take advantage of this. And of course, on the other side, we have the dollar stores and the discount stores in their constant race to the bottom. So it's just, I don't know. I think that's a great reminder of how our actions do not exist in a vacuum. Mm. Like, you know, yeah. Great if you thrift, but if you're thrifting like 1,000 pieces, it still does have an effect, you know.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting, like I think with the popular, how thrifting has become more popular, especially on things like TikTok, because I find that there's like a TikTok effect where like maybe like one brand will become really popular and then everybody starts looking for it, and then it kind of increases the prices of that. Like, I think like you used to be able to find like a used Loro Piana cashmere sweater for quite cheap, but now the people are people have caught on because of shows like Succession and the quiet luxury trend, and the brand's reputation. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, buying a second hand is like almost just as much as buying new sometimes.
Yes,
which is
interesting.
That's
a really great point.
Yeah,
really great point. And it has almost as much cachet as buying it new.
Yeah.
Right? Like. Mm.
I have a question for both of you. I'm curious to know your thoughts around, you know, how there's this kind of, I don't know if it's an argument or what, but there's resellers get a lot of hate, like people who have curated, whether they're online or I find it's less so in bricks and mortar because it's like, there's a lot of expenses. There's a business, like there's overhead that people have to pay. But online, vintage and secondhand resellers get a lot of flack for taking away the clothing from the market and pricing it higher, and these clothes should be made more accessible to those who can't afford. I don't know if I want to, like, personally, I think it's bullshit. I think there's so many clothes on the planet that,
exactly.
like, will be fine.
Surely they'll be enough for everyone.
Surely they'll be enough, but I was curious to know, like, what your thoughts were, or,
I used to have an online secondhand shop. I only had it for a year because it was a lot of work, but I would do that. I would go to, like, markets and, like, outskirt, like, thrift stores, and I would like hand pick things to sell on my platform. I never had anyone like come at me directly, but I remember always being so scared of it because like, you know, I kind of get why you would think that, but at the same time, like you say, like there's enough like for everyone, right?
I think so, right?
And really, I just wanted to make I just wanted to make it easier for people. So I stuck to like a specific style, like kind of reflecting my own style, handpicking pieces that I would wear myself.
Yes.
And
you're doing the work for that. Like, that's labor.
Yeah.
That you expect to be compensated for. It's part of a business. And like me as a buyer, as a consumer, like sometimes I don't have time or I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know what I want.
Mm, right.
I don't know how to find it.
Right.
So that's where I've used like resellers for All Vintage Denim was one of my favorite shops to support. And also, she's a small business. She is a female owned small business. She's like POC too. So that's like another like angle to support. And like, there's other things that it's not like this big bad monopoly guy that's I don't know what I'm saying. Basically, it's a service that, you know, for me personally, I have the privilege to seek out and to pay that money. I'm willing to pay that money for that service. And she's going out to like the bins and spending time, and she cleans them and takes photos of them. Like, that's not free.
No.
That doesn't not take time,
Yeah, and I wonder if anyone's ever gone out to like a thrift store and be like, oh, I can so see that all of the good things have like been
picked out.
Like, it's like filled to the, like, it's stuffed
like,
in
it's
there.
Always stuffed.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, exactly. So I just, I don't buy that. I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
The only thing I would say to that, like being my own devil's advocate, is that the racks are the ratio of poor quality in fast fashion that we see versus good is increasing.
Yeah.
So it's harder to find.
Yeah. So if anything, it's I think it's better if someone wants to like hand feed and curate it, because it, at the end of the day, it makes it easier for you as a consumer to like just weed out all of the crappy stuff.
Yeah. And not to say that that's, you know, like, because some people don't have access to stores, or like if you're plus size, it's harder to find things. But even sometimes, like, maybe that's where you want to go to a reseller. Maybe there's a reseller that specializes in like in finding more plus sizes, for example, and the things that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Again, it might be, maybe you're paying a little bit extra, but it might be worth exploring.
Yeah, because there's value. You gain value in the time that you save searching, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's really all like, what are you willing to pay for? So either you pay for it in time doing it yourself, or you can pay somebody else to do that for you. Now, I will say sometimes some resellers are a bit unhinged. Like, I know some of these prices are
crazy.
Crazy, or like, you know, there's the whole like reselling a Shein shirt that's still on the website for $3 for $10 on the reseller site or something. Like, obviously, you know, fair pricing and like money for value, and you're buying, you know, and if you're buying things like Levi's or something designer, it's authenticated. Like, there's things that you have to look for. You can still get scammed, and there's some people who do, who are being dishonest about it and like just trying to turn around and make a buck. But I think like you can kind of tell, like, if you find a reputable seller with good reviews on like Depop or eBay,
I think Poshmark verifies too.
Yeah, they do now. So it's like, there's ways to be a little bit more critical and filtered with it, I think. And I mean, you can have, I'm sure you can negotiate too, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's all. Oh, that's something we didn't talk about either. Like, sorry.
It's like really loud.
It's like a ghost taking a shower.
Yes, literally. Literally. But yeah, that's something to think about too, is the beauty of secondhand shopping is that oftentimes when you're, if you're in a market situation or if you're in like a small shop situation, you can sometimes it's acceptable to barter and negotiate.
Right?
Like, yeah, cash. Online if you, yeah, because, or if like, you have if cash. You,
like, because if you pay with card, then they have to pay.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? So there's always a markup. But if you can offer cash, then a lot of them will take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's another good tip, I think, for secondhand shopping, especially abroad. I always shop with cash.
Yeah, it's smart.
In markets and stuff. Because then, they'll often just.
Yeah.
Then you'll be like, I only have.
Yeah,
and they want
and then they take it.
Yeah, they want the inventory to be like, I
mean, don't be unfair. No, of course. Yeah. I mean, I do that on Westier when I sell things there, and someone like comes with a, you know, you can like
counter offer.
Yeah, they can leave an offer. Often I'll just accept it because I'm like, yeah, great.
I'm trying to sell.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's part of the beauty and the charm of secondhand shopping too.
Yeah.
Any other things you look for? Ooh, the other thing I look for too is buttons. And zippers.
Yeah.
Hardware.
Yeah. Because, like, I feel like zippers used to be better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, 100%. And buttons. Like, I think if it's, like, if it feels cold on your skin, then it's made of the shell, and then versus plastic, which doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned, actually, Sina, at the beginning, I'd love to know, you said you made a lot of mistakes online when you were shopping before. Can you remember what they were and, like, how you would fix them going forward, or, like, what you would do differently?
I think it was more in the, like, I was so focused on being a sustainable consumer that I was like
shopping our way into sustainability.
Yes, exactly. And it would be like, okay, I'm looking for a Czech blazer. I remember this brown Czech blazer that I found on ASOS Marketplace from like a vintage store, and it was nice, but it was like, it was not exactly the color I want, and the fit was a little bit weird, but I kept wearing it, and eventually I ended up letting it go because it wasn't like exactly what I was looking for. So I feel like it was more, I was trying to be sustainable, and I would like compromise more because, well, it was a secondhand piece, so I'm doing a good job.
Right.
Yeah. But, at, you know, today I'm more, I've like let, of course I still buy most of my clothes secondhand, but it's like I've let a little bit more go of that, like being so focused on it has to be secondhand. It's more, it has to be the right piece.
Yeah.
Otherwise, 100%. I know it's going to just,
yeah,
that being secondhand or not, it's like not going to last in my wardrobe.
I love that. I think that goes with all things.
Yeah. My other thing would be don't shop for your size, shop for measurements.
Yes.
And there, if there are no measurements, then ask.
Ask.
Yeah. And,
that's
yeah.
A really good
and
one.
If you don't know what to look like, what I like to do is take a reference piece that
yeah.
I know I like the way it fits. And if I'm looking for a similar fit, then I will like measure that. And for example, for blazer, I'll do like pit to pit, the length of the sleeves, the length of the actual garment itself. And sometimes you can do like the bust and stuff,
yes.
I think, or is that pit to pit? So that's something that I like to do for blazers. And then for denim, especially if, you know, finding a good pair of jeans is difficult on like, in person, it's always hard, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's even harder if you're shopping online for vintage denim. But again, it's really helpful to use a reference piece. If you know kind of the brand that you're looking for, things like that. But if not, then I like to always look at the waist measurement. So a lot of times they will measure the pair of jeans from a, like laying flat from across. So if it's a 13, if it's measured like 13 inches across, then times that by two, that's a 26 inch waist. So that is something that's really helpful. And it also depends on the rise. So if it's higher rise and you want it to sit higher, maybe the waist that you get is a little bit smaller. Mid rise, you know, so it depends where you want it to hit. Then you want to know what the rise of the jean is. So measuring from the crotch to the top of the jean or the button. And then your inseam, which is the length of the jean, which is basically from the crotch to the bottom of the jean. So depending like how long your legs are. So if you want it to hit at the ankle, if you want it to go all the way down, these are things that you want to think about. And then in general, I think we talked about vintage and like, you know, thrifted pieces. Vintage especially, it tends to fit smaller. So if it's your first time buying, just size up.
Yeah.
And that just made me think, just like as a disclaimer, when you're shopping secondhand, like don't shop, like you said, don't
yeah,
shop by size. And
tag.
don't always look in your section either, right? Like if you're usually a small,
yeah.
like check the medium,
yeah.
check the extra
large.
Small, check
yeah.
the large, like go on either side because
yes.
it's
exactly
there's no fit models.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
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 And then the other thing I like to look at when I'm especially shopping in person is I like to look at the fabric tag and composition.
Yeah.
So again, I prefer to look for like natural fibers. And that will just, you know, that's,
yeah.
that doesn't always speak to the quality, but I mean, it'll speak to the wear for me because
yeah.
for example, like if it's a top that's made of fully polyester or a blazer that's fully polyester, I'm probably going to sweat in it. And I
even
that.
Even today, you know, there's a lot of fast fashion in the stores, and it's not to say that you can't buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Just yeah, and I find that to be a great place to also look at the tech to make sure you get something that's
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit better, at least breathable and like feels nice on the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you can try it on, do it.
Yeah.
And if it's itchy, you're not going to wear it, so forget it.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
I think that's nice. It's like it always brings the focus back onto the piece, like to what you said, Sina. Like it's not about the. Like, yes, it's nice to be sustainable and eco-friendly, but, like, it's about the piece.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good quality? Is it the fabric? Is it the right measurement?
Yeah.
All that stuff. I feel like we covered some really good tips.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot.
Yeah,
yeah
me too.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
And guess what? We're going thrifting right after this.
Yes.
Yay!
So we'll be able to, like, practice all our tips and have some fun. But thank you so much, as always, for listening and watching wherever you're taking this in. We're so grateful that you're here. If you're on YouTube, give it a like, subscribe, don't forget. And if you are listening anywhere you listen to your podcast, don't forget to rate. And can you follow a podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. And give us a follow because it supports us and it helps us create more of these episodes for you. So thank you, and we'll see you in the next one. Ciao.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining in our conversation this week. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and leave us a rating and review. It's one of the best ways to support the Sustain This podcast at zero cost to you.
We're also a community-led podcast, so if you have any questions for us, topic requests, or even guests you want to hear from, please send us a DM on Instagram at sustainthis_podcast. We read all of our comments and look forward to hearing from you.
We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll talk about so much more than clothes. Ciao!